One Saturday morning, Ken Rowlands and his friend Elvet from Maes Poeth were roaming the village looking for something to get up to. Then they saw the steamroller. The driver who had been doing some work in the village late on Friday night had left his vehicle by the roadside down by the bridge and gone home to Cwmllunai for the weekend. The boys were unaware that there was still a little bit of fire left in a firebox from the night before, and consequently a fair bit of steam pressure still in the boiler. They only wanted to climb up and pretend to drive it. All was going well and they were having great fun until one of them must have accidentally knocked the wrong lever. For suddenly the big flywheel started to turn. As if that was not bad enough, a few moments later the steamroller started to move forward up the hill towards Mount Pleasant. Being small boys, they couldn't see over the top of the boiler and the big flywheel was spinning right by their ears, so they were unable to see which way to steer it. Neither of them had a clue how to stop it either. It was heading straight for the gate and the front of Mount Pleasant's house, and things were looking pretty grim for the two boys and the house. Luckily, fate had another card up its sleeve for them. Isaac Morgan, Bryn and Irwen's grandfather, was home for the weekend from his job in South Wales, as a, believe it or not, but it's true, steamroller driver. He and his family lived in one of the houses by the Methodist chapel. Isaac was in the house and heard the distinctive sound of the steamroller starting off. Looking out of the window and taking in the scene in a moment, he ran out up the hill and managed to stop it, reshaping the front path to Mount Pleasant. Isaac Morgan set a speed and endurance record for steamrollers while working in South Wales between the wars, as reported in the Daily Express at the time. Steamroller goes 120 miles in 2 days. Pembroke Dock, Tuesday. A shortage of steamrollers is reported in South Pembrokeshire. All available rollers in the county are working overtime. A few days ago, an urgent call was sent to Newport, Monday, 120 miles away, for a roller to be used in connection with a water improvement scheme at Castle Martin. The roller did the journey in record time, arriving after 2 days of all-out travelling. One day in the early part of the Second World War, Ken Rowlands, Bryn Morgan and the rest of the gang were kicking around the village looking for something to do. The men were away, the women were working and the boys were bored. Then, suddenly an idea. One of them remembered seeing an autocycle in Bryn's mother's outhouse. At that time, the autocycle was a fairly recent innovation. Basically, a strongly made bicycle with a small engine mounted either behind the seat or forward of the pedals. The problem now was persuading Bryn to get it out of the shed. He was naturally reluctant to risk a good leathering if something happened to the bike that he couldn't hide. However, after some considerable persuasion, he finally agreed and dragged it out of the shed. After the initial ritual of circling around it, poking it, praising it, and working out what everything was, it was decided that someone should have a go on it. If Bryn was a bit worried before, he was certainly worried now, especially when everyone agreed that as it was from his house, he should be the first one to ride it. Still, ever keen to show willing for a dare and not wishing to admit that he hadn't a clue how the contraption worked, Bryn made ready. To start the machine, they decided the petrol was turned on, ignition on, clutch in, then run like hell with it. Let go the clutch and jump on. Sounds simple. Everything went fine until it came to the bit about jumping on. Soon as he let go the clutch, the engine burst into life and the bike lurched forward, pulling Bryn slightly off balance. Off it went down the road with Bryn hanging on for dear life, unable to run fast enough to leap over the saddle and not having any idea how to stop it. They hadn't discussed that bit. Exactly how he did stop, it isn't known, as by this time the rest of the gang were running just as fast in the opposite direction. Well, Bryn's mother wasn't the understanding type and they didn't want to be around when she got hold of Bryn. One dark winter's night during the war, Ken and his friend Emrys Morris from Teesside noticed Irwen Morgan and the Land Army girl who was lodging with Irwen's family going for milk. This meant two girls walking with a milk can all the way to Nursery Cottage beyond Tanacoid, about half a mile, where they would get the can filled and then walk back again. One of the boys saw the chance for a bit of fun, so after a couple of minutes they set off to follow the girls. When they got to the stretch of main road before Tanacoid, where the trees hung out over the road, making it very dark and creepy, they stopped. There they rolled down their socks and rolled up their trousers, showing their white long johns, climbed up the bank and the bushes and waited. When the girls on their return journey were almost back to where the boys were hiding, they heard a slight rustling and then a thump, thump. Suddenly in the darkness before them were two pairs of shining white legs. They could see nothing else in the gloom, only those thin white legs dancing about on the road. They were so startled that they ran screaming all the way back to Nursery Cottage, and there was not much milk left in the can when they got there. According to J. Arthur Williams' book, Tremanol, Mrs. Hugh Pugh of Plasry Gryddin gave land to build a chapel in the village in 1832. It was called Acker. However, we cannot pinpoint exactly where. It might have been at the end of Acker Cottages, where the Aberglesser School was later opened in 1850, or in the little house that used to be on the end of Acker Cottages, where the path goes down to Teesside. The present chapel was built in 1895 on an empty plot, and the foundation stone was laid on the 29th of June that year by Annie Lissy Williams, the 8-year-old daughter of the Rhyw Gryddin quarry manager, Jeremiah Williams, and his wife Sophia, who were living in Rhyw Awel. Coincidentally, in May this year, as we were preparing to write about this chapel, the granddaughter of Annie Lizzie Williams, Dr. Mary Rhydwen, and her friend, Dr. Alan Nash, turned up in the village while on holiday from their home in Australia. They asked around for any information about the chapel and village, and Gerald Groom of Meenavon kindly sent them up to see us. After a cup of tea and a chinwag, they continued on their journey, but we have since been in touch by email. Mary, also an author, owns the Trowel. The Rhydwen family bought all of Era Terrace in 1928 when Era Quarry closed, and eventually sold the last one, number 2, to us in 1982. It's a small world really, isn't it? Mrs. Morris of 1 Caerbont used to teach in the Sunday school at the Annibynwyr Chapel, and the children of the chapel members were firmly encouraged by their parents to attend. As with most chapels, there was a strong social side among the membership, with annual Sunday school trips, parties, choir meetings and competitions with other chapels and choirs, etc. Being opposite the Methodist chapel across the road, there was often, shall we say, a competitive atmosphere, as the respective members arrived for and departed from Sunday service and other functions. They would, however, get together for large or important social functions. The chapel, and indeed the preacher's income, was financed by the annual subscriptions and donations of the chapel members. Therefore, when attendance and membership began to wane, the money dwindled. Eventually, by the 1980s, after 19 years, the chapel was forced to close and was later sold. It has now been converted to a house. In the 19th century, the Methodist congregation in Esgygeiliog used to meet at Esgygeiliog Farm, then occupied by Edward Edwards. Later, as their numbers and funds grew, Thomas Edwards of Kynos Farm sold them land to build a chapel. It was built in 1840, opened in 1841 and called Ebenezer. It was a small but smart-looking chapel, built to a design popular at the time. Very similar indeed to the Methodist chapel built in Pamperthog at about the same time. This one, though, had an additional floor below the main chapel, used as a vestry. At that time, there was a flight of steps leading down to the vestry at the front of the chapel. However, there must have been some problems with the building, as it was rebuilt in 1874, and it is thought that the front steps were also filled in at about this time, with an entrance now at the rear of the building. Electricity was supplied to the chapel in the 1930s by Captain William Sir Plasu Gruithin, when he installed the turbine generators in the River Dillas. The electrician was Iorwerth Lloyd of Bryn Hyfryd Corris. In those days, the chapels were the hub of the village, with full congregations on Sundays and various meetings in the vestry on weekday evenings. An Eisteddfod was held here every other year, with the Annibynwyr Chapel across the road, and it was so packed with people and so enthusiastic was the singing that condensation would be running down the walls. In the vestry below the chapel, there were children's parties and Sunday schools. In some chapels, adults also attended Sunday schools, and some were even presented with medals for so many years' unbroken attendance. This was also the room where chapel members attended choir practice. Before the Second World War, Mr. Lloyd, the postman, was the choir master. Mr. Lloyd was an accomplished pianist, but there was no piano or organ in the vestry. Therefore, when he wanted a note to start the choir off on, he would run out of the chapel and up the road to his house in Acre Cottages and strike the note on his own piano. Then, singing the note repeatedly, he would run back down to the vestry and the choir would start off on the right note. In later years, Louis Morris's mother, Margaret, used to carry her organ to the vestry for meetings. Occasionally, lay preachers would visit and lead meetings in the vestry, and members would donate food for refreshments afterwards. At such times, Mrs. Williams of Llwyngwern Farm might donate a home-grown boiling ham as a fitting treat to impress the visitor. The chapel closed in the 1980s and was sold to somebody in London for a few years. In 2001, it was bought by Jeremy Thomas of Aero Works. Its future is uncertain.